If you'll please rise for the reading of the scriptures as you're able. And today's reading is going to come from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures and now to share my testimony. Amen. So today, we're ending our four-week series called Reset. And let's kind of go back to where we've been so far. So first, the first Sunday, we talked about Jesus resetting our hearts. Our hearts so that they could be attuned to him, so that our faith could be made known to everyone that we touch. And then we talked about Jesus resetting our mind, that focusing on the things in our mind that are of Christ, those good fruits of the Spirit, those things that can transcend this world into the next, that have that kind of power for us. And then we talked about Jesus resetting our voices. That's where we were examining the things that we say, the things that we do. And as we do so, are the things that are coming out of our mouths, are they glorifying God? Are they leading other people to Christ? And so today, we're going to talk about how Jesus impacts the work of our hands. And Jesus reset our hands. So as I've been telling you throughout the series, I've been getting reset stories. And I told you about my garbage disposal, and I told you about other things that needed to be reset. Well, something happened to me in Florida last weekend. Okay, I'm driving a vehicle. Now, if you have a newer vehicle, okay, how many of you ever been driving and then all of a sudden on your dashboard it says tire pressure low? Anybody? Yeah. I mean, immediately that comes flashing, and I'm thinking, you know, we're on 75, and I'm thinking, this isn't a good thing. I need to pull off, get the air in the tires checked. So the first time, my wife says to me, "Are you going to do it, or are you going to have somebody else do it?" Meaning, you better have somebody else do it. Because when I do it, the pressure's, I said, "You know what, I can do this." So I did. I have a little thing that I use, and I always carry it with me. I don't know why, but I checked the pressure in the tires and went back in the car and started it up, and tire pressure low was still on. And I was getting a little anxious. My wife's getting a little anxious. "You know, we got a little drive here on 75. Shouldn't we get this checked?" And so we find a tire discounter, and we go in, and guy comes out, and he says to me, "Young guy," I mean, probably could have been my son, maybe even a grandson, I don't know, this is because I'm getting up there. "Young guy," and he looks at my tires, he checks them, and he says, "Sir," he said, "everything is fine. All you need to do is press the reset button. Okay. Where's the reset button? So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to, where do I look for the reset button? I'm thinking, well, in the glove compartment, there's a manual, right? So I open the glove compartment, there's no manual. And the kid's just looking at me, and he's like with this strange look, and I go, there's no manual. How am I supposed to reset this without knowing how to do it? There's no manual. And he keeps looking at me, and I go, I was just so upset. And I go, how are my hands going to know what to do? There's no manual. And I don't know about you, but what do you think the answer was? Because he kept looking at me like, guy, what is your problem? He goes, we don't put manuals in cars anymore. You know why? Because you can find all the answers that you need on your phone. I just felt just like, wow, this is really a millennial time now. You know, I have to realize that. But finally, I was able to find it. It was actually on the dashboard, and there's a thing you scroll down, and you press it, and it reset. And so I didn't have that blaring at me anymore. And I don't know if it's just the luck of the draw today, but when I was driving into Xenia today, as soon as I got off on 35, guess what happened to my car? Tire pressure reset. So that's my reset story. But I want to talk to you today about Jesus resetting our hands. And remember what I first said is to reset something is to restore it to its original design. In our original design, as men and as women through creation and Genesis, we were designed to give glory to God. We were designed to be in this world and to enjoy this world that God has given us, to tend the fruit, to multiply. We were intended to be in relationship, but we were intended to work and attend the garden and to do the things that God had given us so graciously. But we know that sometimes working through the hands of God is very difficult for us. And so the first thing on our first sermon note that I wanted to discuss with you is this. Remember, to reset something is to put it back to its original design. Well, in order to do so, sermon note number two is this. Our faith, what we believe in, informs our thoughts. So our faith informs our thoughts. And then our thoughts are going to inform our words. And this is the big one. And our words inform our actions. So, thoughts, faith and thoughts, and then thoughts and words, and then do we stand behind what we say? Is what we're saying giving glory, or our actions being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ? So today we get this great story that we, Julie, read today from the book of Luke, and I think we're all pretty familiar with it. It's a story of a man who was paralyzed, or he was very ill and couldn't get up off his cot, and we're told that on that particular day, Jesus was preaching, and word about Jesus and his healing was spreading like wildfire. It was. And we're told that where he was preaching, the building was packed with people. And there was no way to get in. There was no way. But these people that were carrying this man had this faith inside of them. They had this faith that if they could get him before Jesus, if they could lay him aside Jesus and Jesus could touch him, that healing could be achieved. And what does the story tell us? The story tells us that it was so full that they had to cut a hole in the roof and lower him down. Imagine how dramatic that was. Imagine how dramatic it would be if today we were just filled and we couldn't get anybody else in here. The tenacity of these men to want to bring this man to Jesus. They knew that is the only way that healing could occur. And I can just imagine what it looked like if you look up and just imagine that just opening up and somebody being lowered down. Imagining not only Jesus there, but others watching. And Jesus knew that the Pharisees would be discriminating him because he's doing healing and he shouldn't be doing them, shouldn't be doing forgiveness. And of course, what they're thinking of in the day is if somebody had a malady like that, they must have done something wrong or they must have been sinful in their lives. And so we have this dramatic thing, and Jesus then forgives and heals him. And not only does he do that, the man, he tells him to get up. And the man gets up and he takes the cot that he's been laying on, the cot of infirmity, and he takes it and he walks out. And what an amazing, amazing thing. So sermon note number three is this, is that this story kind of gives us the crux of what our hands need to be. So no other solution can address the problems people face than getting those people to Christ. That is our primary witness right now, is to get people to Christ by the work of our hands, by the work of our hearts, a reset heart, a reset mind, a reset voice, but by the work of our hands. I'll never forget when I was going to get out of high school, I thought I wanted to be a priest, a Roman Catholic priest. And so in those days, they took you to visit a seminary. And the seminary was in Columbus, and it was called the Josephinum. And I'll never forget, when I walked into the chapel, there was one of the... I didn't end up being a priest. Did I tell you that? Didn't happen. Yeah. Great goal, but didn't happen. Anyhow, walk in, and I see there's this cross. And of course, if you know in the Roman Catholic tradition, every time you see the cross, you see Jesus out on the cross and his figure and nails and all that stuff. But there were no hands and there were no feet to Jesus on the cross. And what happened was there was a fire there, and that cross got damaged. And so instead of just saying, we're going to get rid of this, they decided that they were going to keep that cross in the seminary. And underneath there was an inscription that said these words, "You are now my hands and my feet. Go on in love as I have called you to do." Pretty amazing, pretty amazing. But you know, sermon note number four is this, is in order to have reset hands, we have to start living a Jesus-centric life. A Jesus-centric life, which is this. Number one, a Jesus-centric life is going to be what I would call others-focused. Putting ourselves, our minds, our bodies, our actions that are focused on others than solely on ourselves. You know, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to maintain our physical and spiritual dignity and posture. But we're really called to be of service to others. So living this Jesus-centric life, we do so being others-focused. The other one is this. It's service-motivated life. It's walking through this life and thinking about how we can be to others the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Not just thinking of serving ourselves, but serving others. And the third one of this, if you can live an others-focused life and a service-motivated life, you will be living a satisfaction-rich life. So, Jesus-centric life is others-focused, is service-motivated, and is satisfaction-rich. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Now, because of all this, I have some three challenging questions as we think about why we would want to live a life like this. And so the first question is this, is why would anyone want to go to all the trouble of being a servant? Why would we want to go through all the trouble? Well, the best answer for that is that's what we are called to do. You know, Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, he, in the first part of it, he talks about, you know, he was saved by his faith, not by works. But then there's a part of it where he talks about you know, the things that we're supposed to be about in the church. And he's talking to the Galatian church about that. So the things that we're supposed to be about in the church, and one of the things he says in Galatians 5 is this. He says, you know, you were called to be free. That's awesome. We're called to be free. But Paul says this is, that doesn't mean we should let our freedom to be self-indulgent. That what a great blessing it is for us to be free so that we can be a blessing to others. And Paul reiterates that to the church at Galatia. And he trying to get the people to understand that really living a true, authentic life is when we are free to forgive, where we are free to help, where we are free to heal others. That is the blessing of being free. So why would anyone want to go to the trouble of being a servant? Well, it's because what we're called to do, and when we are called to do it, life is incredible. It's incredible. Now, Paul goes on in Galatians, and he talks about all these sins that can weigh us down. And he talks about things like sexual immorality and drunkenness and debauchery and this whole list of things. But when I look at that list, I think, you know, most of us are basically very good people and try to live a good moral life. You know, sometimes it's harder than others. But when I look at that list, I think, wow, I mean, you know, I don't know that we can check any of those boxes. But then I think about the things that really can keep us from living a life that's in service to others. And I think those are like this. I think they have to do with comfort, and I think they have to do with convenience. You know, sometimes we're called out of our comfort zone to help others. We're called out of our comfort zone to maybe reach out to people who we might feel are on the margins, or maybe people who have at some time hurt us or take advantage of us. But we're called to go out of our comfort zone. And we're also called to go out of our convenience. You know, we sometimes are creatures of habit. We like things where they are. We like things how they're. And if something kind of bothers us that way, we think, oh, is it really worth it to help somebody? Because it's just not convenient for me. So I think that for us, you know, our big things is why we want to live a life that's being a servant is we want to do what God designed us to do. And we have to make sure that we're not allowing things like comfort and convenience to be in our way. So let's go on to the next one. The next question is this. Who exactly then are we supposed to serve? So if we're going to honor God with our hands in our service, because that's what he called us to do, he calls us to be free, who exactly are we supposed to be of service to love and to serve? Well, let's think about the story of the Good Samaritan. What was the moral of that story? The moral of that story is that we are to love and to serve everyone. Amazing. We're to love and to serve everyone, you know. And sometimes we think, well, you know, is there a status? Is there a level of people that we're supposed to serve and a level of person there's not? No. It's this. It's that loving the neighbor. So neighbor gives people a status in our work and our minds. Anyone who is our neighbor, anyone who is our brother, anyone that God puts, those are the people that we are called to love and to serve. And here's the kicker. If we do, Paul says, we're going to be inspired in spirit. And those fruits of the spirit of love, peace, joy, all those wonderful things are going to be freely given to us. And then the last one is this. My last question as I was thinking about resetting our hands is this. So we know who we're supposed to love, but how are we supposed to love? How are we supposed to love? And in Galatians it says this, and the Great Commandment says this, but we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Yes. So three challenging questions as we talk about resetting our hands. Number one, Why do we do this in the first place? Why do we have ministries in this church that are helping the poor, the needy? Why are we trying to collect people things for people that are suffering from the tornadoes in Dayton? Why are we saying prayers and holding vigils for people that have been victims of mass shooting? Because that's what God gives us the freedom to do, and we're duly blessed because of it. And who are we supposed to love and serve? Everyone. You know, it's really interesting. If you think about the guys that lowered that mat into the temple or wherever Jesus was praying that day, they went against everything that society said. They pushed against conformism. They pushed against not being able to be in there. You know, in this day and age, let's say our church was full and the fire marshal said, we don't have a fire marshal in here, do we? Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. But the fire marshal says, this is the capacity, you know, and they have you that number. These are the people that said, you know what? Forget about the capacity. We need to get in there to see Jesus. And we're going to do whatever we need to do that. That's pretty amazing. That's the thing about that story that's just like, wow, the drive of people who wanted to do this and knew that being in the presence of Jesus was going to be healing. So how are we to love? We are to love everyone. And we're supposed to love everyone as we love ourselves. And that's an important thing, too. We need to know how to love ourselves in a godly way. But then in turn, because we know that, we love others with the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. I want to leave you with a scripture, Romans 8, chapter 32. This is sermon note number 6. And this, to me, is the crux of everything. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You know, when we think about it, if we need a motivation, if we need to understand the promises of God, we understand that God, who didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will we not be blessed by him in all things? And that's the word I want you to remember. In all things. How? In all things. So as we close this series today, we're going to sing a hymn at the very end after communion. It's called Take My Life and Let It Be. And I hope as we sing that hymn, it's going to talk about taking my life, taking my hands, taking my voice, taking my thoughts. I hope that this sermon series has been helpful to you. It's amazing how Jesus gives us this opportunity every day to reset our lives, to be blessed by the blessings that he's given for us. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, as we come now to a time of your sacrament, Lord, as we do so, we ask that your Spirit would fall afresh on us. We ask, Lord, that you would inspire our hearts so that our faith may be centered on you. Lord, that you would fill our minds so that we would focus on the things that are of your kingdom and of this world. Lord, that the words that come out of our mouths would be words that glorify you and build up your church. And finally, Lord, that our hands would do the work that you have us to do.